Welcome back to another episode of Sparking School Magic. I'm Lori Storch, elementary school principal, and I'm here with Dan Cockrell, former VP of the Magic Kingdom, a leadership coach, a consultant, and an author of one of the best reads yet for any school leader, How's the Culture in Your Kingdom? Welcome, Dan.
Thanks, Lori. Where have you been? We haven't talked in ages.
I know. I'm back out of the void.
Welcome back.
Been a busy couple of months, but it's good to be back together with you again. And congratulations on the book. Tell us about it. What have you been up to?
Boy, well, you know, for over a year, we've been going through what everyone else has been going through, just a whole change in lifestyle, trying to figure out what our path is going to be. You know, we had lots of conferences and speeches set up like everyone else. Lots of stuff got canceled. Yeah. Things got quarantined. And so, you know, one of the big things that we did was, how are we going to spend this time? And we decided, you know, this concept of growth mindset, we're going to create value. We're not going to be victims of this pandemic. So we didn't focus on what we couldn't do. We started to focus on what we could do. And so I started, doing daily Zoom calls with whoever wanted to get on, and had a couple hundred people rotating every 2 weeks, met really interesting people. My wife and daughter created an undergrad college course that we're now selling and presenting. And my book, How's Culture in Your Kingdom, is the textbook. And there's case studies and reading quizzes and midterm final exams. And so they took advantage of that. So we tried to do a lot of things that we wouldn't have not had time to do if there wasn't this quarantine pandemic. So coming out of it now, we have all the things we were doing previously, and hopefully that'll ramp up, and we got some new things we can offer. So that's been our approach to this whole thing.
Well, that sounds great, and certainly something that any school leader can use. Your book was great, easy to read, and a lot of applicable scenarios there. And that's something that hoping that we can talk a little bit about today. You know, exceptional leadership during a time of crisis, whether it's an instance or an event or even through the pandemic. You know, I feel like we've all been put to the test this year. It's been a long year of learning valuable lessons along the way. And the question is, what do effective leaders do during when flying in the face of a crisis? You know, what are those behaviors that you can name?
Yeah, so this is a great topic. And I jotted down some notes when we talked about putting this together. So there's a few things. One of the ones that I always recognized when I was working at Disney, and it's a conversation I've had more and more often these days with leaders, is balancing humility and confidence.
Right.
And you know, a lot of times at Disney, you're asked to be a humble leader. You are there for your employees. You are there for your guests. The higher up in the organization you are, the less important you are, because you're farther away from delivering experiences. And there's a great time to be humble and step into the shadows and let people perform and get out of the way. Yeah. And there are certainly times when, as a leader, you need to step into the spotlight and you need to show confidence and you need to start directing and letting people know what the plan is. And this is important that when you make these decisions, and if you get it right, there's a time and place to be humble and let your team bask in the credit. There's a time to step in. But if you don't step in when crisis happens, and you're humble, that is not a good situation, because you're being paid to be the leader. And if you step up and take the credit for something when you should be humble, that's not good either. So a lot of this is situational. So I would say to those leaders who are maybe not as in the spotlight, during times of crisis, you need to become a bigger personality. You need to become a communicator. You need to be a source of information for people, because people are scared and they want information. They're looking to an authority figure. And if that's you, you need to step into that role. Another piece that I've been talking a lot about lately is this concept of executive presence. And we use that term. I used it my whole career at Disney, and I realized I don't even know what it meant. But
Tell me more about that. I'm not sure I do either.
Well, I heard a podcast about a month ago of a lady who talked about it, and I was just like, man, she nailed it. And so the way she talked about it is, she said, you know, executive presence, what is it? Well, you see someone, you say, well, they're good, but they need more executive presence. Like, what does that mean? They need to be more like John or more like Mary. Yeah. It's like, well, John or Mary. So what is it they can do? And the way she talked about it is, first of all, executive presence doesn't mean you're an executive. Anyone can have this. A student can have it. A teacher can have it. A frontline manager, an executive. Anyone can command this. And basically, she said there's two things if you want to have executive presence, which is very important in times of crisis. The first one is credibility. Do you know what you're talking about? Have you studied what you need to be an expert in? If you are going to help with managing people's emotions. Have you read about that and got training in that? If you're going to help people deal with trauma, are you kind of going off your cuff? Or are you really talking about it and have credibility in the area? Right. So that's where the work gets in, and you got to study it. You got to get experiences around it. And secondly, once you have the credibility, you have to be relatable, because you see a lot of people who are credible, but they're not relatable. They just spout off everything they have an expertise in, but you don't feel connected with them. You don't trust them. And so the people who have the executive presence are highly credible. They know what they're talking about. They put the work in, and they can relate it in a way that is empathetic, that's understandable to the people they're talking to. And so in times of crisis, I think that's really important. You got to have the credibility. And the credibility you have isn't built before the crisis, or isn't built during the crisis. It's built before the crisis. You need to have had gotten that credibility already. So when this happens, people will give you the benefit of the doubt. And then you have to be, a lot of times I think about relatability as being empathetic. Let me put myself in your shoes as a parent who has two little kids at home. Let me put myself in your shoes as a parent who has a high school senior who's not getting to, maybe arguably live one of the best years of their life in a quarantine. How do you help them, and how do you relate to their situation? So I think those are two concepts to really think about. A few other things: as a leader during crisis, you are going to want to, that confidence could go too far, and you're going to want to hold yourself accountable to have every answer and be the end all be all. And that's just not the case. No matter who you are in a crisis, you can't control the situation. You can just translate it to your people. So there's times when you're just going to have to be able to tell your people, your students, your teachers, I don't know the answer to that. At Disney, are we going to get laid off? Well, as a leader, I don't know. I don't know what the decision is going to be, but we're here today. What can we do today to work through this? Let's keep talking about it. I don't know what the answer to that is, because if I tell you yes, that's going to create a problem. If I tell you no, that's going to create a problem. So I just got to tell you, I don't know, but we're going to do the best we can right now. And a lot of leaders have trouble doing that. They want to, and with the right intent, they want to tell people they got everything under control, and you don't. So you got to balance that message. And then the two other things: communication. Valerie and I, my wife and I, were doing a webinar last night on charting your life and career path. And they asked us, what's one of the most important things you think you can do? And I said, you just got to keep talking, because you could argue the 2 or 3 years of your teenager's life is a crisis, right?
That's the truth.
it's comparable to a pandemic, because they got emotions, they have insecurities, there's all kinds of things going on. But as a parent, you got to keep communicating and keep talking to them. And even if they roll their eyes, they ignore you, they don't pay attention, you got to keep talking, because they're hearing every word you say.
Right.
And you're not going to get the credit for all that great advice and all that communication you gave them till years later. You're going to tell them 1,000 times to look people in the eye and shake their hand. And someday someone's going to tell you, wow, your kids are really impressive. They're very professional. And you say, you don't know what it took to make that happen. So this idea during crisis, keep talking to people, because in absence of communication, they will assume something is much worse than it is, or they'll make stuff up for themselves. And you don't want either of those things to happen. If you don't know the answer, I'm communicating, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what I do know, and I'm going to keep interacting with you. And that's something I was talking to leaders at Disney during when they closed down in Florida, and many departments had leaders calling their cast members every week. They all divide and conquered. Right. Each one had like 20 people. They would call them weekly. How you doing? How's the family? Do you have any questions? And kept them engaged. And I think that was fantastic, because it's easy. You get on the quarantine, people sit at home for months waiting, and everyone says, well, we'll see what happens. These people are freaking out. And so if you can let them know, they're out there, I think that makes such a big difference. And then the last thing is creating consistency and routine. Even during crisis, you can create routines. You know what? During crisis, we are going to have a call every Monday morning, every Wednesday morning, every Friday morning to check in with each other. I will send you an update every Wednesday by noon. You can start to create some structure for people so they know what to expect. At Walt Disney World during the hurricanes, we would get an email every hour on what was going on with the hurricane.
Right.
And then we would have calls every 3 hours. And everyone knew when the next update was coming. So we knew when we would get the next piece of information to be able to help run our operation. And it wasn't willy-nilly, everyone texting and calling all over the place. It was very structured, and we created that routine. And that's helpful. So, know the difference between humility and confidence, and when to employ either of those. credibility and relatability are highly, if you want to have some executive presence and really be able to have an influence on people, you don't know it all. It's okay to admit that to people. Keep communicating, go into hyper-care communication, and create consistency and routine. And if you do all that, then you're gonna influence and control just about as much as you can. And the crisis is going to do whatever it does. And there's a bunch of stuff you're not going to control. And you just got to let go of that stuff.
Yeah, you know, you hit on a couple of key and important phrases there. Executive presence is one that really is going to stick with me. You know, adapting boldly to during any type of crisis, a leader needs to be able to do that. And you hit the nail on the head when you shared, you're not going to have the answer all the time, whether it's to a teacher, a parent, a student, or an issue. But good leaders are not afraid to admit that and go and seek out that information so that the crisis can be handled and people feel valued. Certainly, I'd add also just taking care of your team, making sure that your team is up to date with the most important information that they need, and, you know, communicating with confidence. A team will follow a confident leader, whether it's a pandemic crisis that's long and lasting, or if it's a short event. So I think you gave us some great takeaways that any school leader could use when handling a crisis. So thanks for that.
That's a great recap, Lori. And I think you mentioned something I want to reiterate is taking care of your people during this, because people will remember, you know, during the good times, you don't need to take care of your people because life is good. You know, there aren't emergencies, there's blue skies and everyone's doing well. It's when there's times of crisis that people remember who stepped up, who paid attention, you know, and we had that often at Disney. You know, a housekeeper, maybe one of their family members was sick or had been in an accident. And boy, the housekeeping departments would come together, donate money, send food. Leaders would go to the hospital, see them, support them. And that is just, I mean, they remember that. They remember when the chips were down, how much people took an interest to step up and support them. And when things get good again, those people are going to stick around. And it's a great business strategy. Not only is it the right thing to do, but it's just a great leadership strategy.
Yeah, I agree. Dan, thanks for joining us today for another episode on School Magic. Until next time.